Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
Pastor Hobby.
Thank you, Brando. How you guys doing this morning? I'm so excited this morning. I'm a little bit overwhelmed just with all the young people's testimonies and just watching. One of the things that I love to do is sit down right there in the front and just watch everybody. I mean, some of these kids, young men and young women, I've watched them grow up since they were this big, and just to watch them get up here and I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I still get up here and get nervous. And I know before first service, they all wanted to go to the bathroom and throw up before they got up here. But they did an incredible job. You guys can just put your hands together for them one more time. I want to take just a second just to thank Pastor Travis and Pastor Tina for just allowing Davina and myself to do what we do. And all glory goes to God. I know that, but Pastor T and Pastor Tina, their hearts for young people and children, and they support us very well. I just want to thank them, and especially for allowing me to be up here and share the word with you guys this morning. I hope that that I can do a good job. And so one of the things going to camp, that I've been doing this for about a little bit over 20 years, and in my prayer every single time I come back from camp is, God, don't let this fire die. Because year after year after year, we come back and these kids are on fire for about a week. And then after that, they're back to their routine. And then you see some kids stop coming to youth. And then you see, and it just goes like this. We live this camp-to-camp experience. And I just want to, my heart, my cry is, God, let's break this. I don't want to live this like this. I'm not interested in a weekend experience. I'm not interested in a year experience. I mean, it's interested in a life-changing experience. So as I was working on a message, and I'm just going to share this message with you guys, I shared a little bit of it with the youth up at camp, and it's called, titled this message, The Deception of, The Lukewarm Deception. I forgot what I titled it. The lukewarm Deception, and it's the thing about it is that as Christians, if the enemy can just get us to be lukewarm, to be lazy Christians, that he's got us. And I know I preached it to the youth, but I'm going to preach to somebody today. And I told Pastor T, I love coming up here. And I'm that type of pastor that I love stepping on people's toes. I'm going to step on your toes this morning. And right before I even get started, I'm not going to apologize about it. Because I really believe that in the world that we live in today, we don't have time for weak Christians. We don't have time for lazy Christians, lukewarm Christians. And that's about what I'm going to talk about this morning. How many of you guys are excited? Awesome. See, the reason why I talk this about this message is because I know that the enemy, the enemy of our souls hates us, right? But hates Jesus even more. He wants to destroy everything that God has got for us. You know, the Bible says that God created us in his image. He created us with a purpose to have a life and have it to the fullest. But if he can just steal our heart, then he's got us. And this is something that I told the youth up at camp. I said, you know what? 90% obedience as a Christian is still disobedience. And if the enemy can get you to give him 10% of your obedience, he's got you. That's all he wants. That's all he needs. He knows that if he can't get you to abandon your faith in Jesus, if he can just get you to slack off and be lukewarm, right? Then he's got you. Deception is his game, and he's very good at it. And the thing that I'm going to talk about this morning is that the same verses that we use you know, for ourselves, the enemy, if we're not careful, he can take them and use them against us. So deception is his game. He's got a lot of success with that in getting people to be lukewarm. The good news is that Jesus gave everything he was and everything he had so that we, the church, believers, would have the opportunity to have life and have it to the fullest in Christ. Right? He clearly says that in John 3:16, but he goes on and says it even more clearly in Revelation 3:15 and says this. He says, I know the deeds, or I know your deeds, that you are neither cold, meaning invigorating, refreshing, nor hot, healing, or therapeutic. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, meaning spiritually useless. Ouch. And neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Man, that's a pretty serious statement, right? This statement is spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loves us more than we can ever imagine. But he's saying that if we're lukewarm as Christians, he will vomit us out of his mouth. 1 John 1:5 says that God is light. He's holy. His message is truthful. He's perfect in righteousness. And in him, there's no darkness at all. No sin, no wickedness, no imperfection. As Christians, we cannot mix light with darkness. Nothing breaks our Lord's heart more than half-hearted Christians. Listen, if you call yourself a Christian, we got to live our life and live it to the fullest. Listen, I want to get you guys to understand something. It's not about perfection. That's reserved only for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not about having a perfect life or anything. It's about having a perfect, devoted heart to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want to talk about today. Nothing breaks his heart more. He wants to bless us. This is what I want you guys to understand. God wants to bless us. It requires a full-hearted commitment to him. A full-hearted commitment to him. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and I will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He wants to bless you. He says, the Lord and Savior, the creator of the heaven and earth, says that if you seek him, he will find you. That means he will stop everything he's doing. Right, Chris, when you bow on your knees and you say, God, I need you, he will stop everything he's doing to find you. Every single one of us, we need to pray and ask God for a wholehearted commitment to him. Why? Because if we're not careful, the enemy will use salvation and the work on the cross against us. Right? I'll give you an example. If you're taking notes, this is my first point. How many of you guys have ever heard this? Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiven. Right? We see it on t-shirts, on bumper stickers. Right? We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. And there's definitely a lot of truth behind this because none of us are perfect. And if we surrender our whole lives to Jesus Christ, then we're forgiven. But it's so easy to rely on being forgiven that we let our lives and our actions slide into laziness and lukewarmness. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us, which can lead us to wide open to the deception of the enemy. And that's what he wants. If we could just go through life and say, you know what? All the work was already done on the cross, right? I can just live life Monday through Saturday however I want. I want you to take a look at a couple of lives in the Bible, the lives of Judas and Peter, so we can understand this a little bit better. See, Judas followed Jesus for years, for 3 years, and even went out spreading the gospel and doing miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. But he wasn't wholehearted. Since he kept the money that was for the disciples, it was easy for him to take some here and take some there, right? So much so that he ended up selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And in remorse, he hung himself. Peter messed up a lot and often. He stuck his foot in his mouth a lot, right? He also denied Jesus 3 times, claiming he never knew him. But Peter repented with more than just remorse and became a leader in the early church. According to tradition, he was crucified, but he was crucified upside down because he didn't believe that he deserved to be crucified like his Lord. See, Peter served Jesus with all his heart. Even though he wasn't perfect, he had a perfect heart. Judas was lukewarm, and it destroyed him. If the enemy can just get you to give him 10% and live a life, a Christian life, being lukewarm, he's got you. See, there's a verse in the youth that we use all the time. It's written up on our wall. It's Romans 12:2. But as I read it to you guys, I want you to hear the intensity of Paul's appeal to us, to the church. And his appeal, really, if you pay attention, it's not coming from a lukewarm heart or a lukewarm life. It's coming out of desperation for the church. And this is what Paul says. He says in Romans 12, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, therefore I urge you, church, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship." Verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by renewing your mind." As you mature spiritually, this is why that we get so emotional when we see these young people up here. They're not only maturing in age and in stature, they're maturing spiritually. The fact that we go into I forget what website that is, but these kids are logging in and talking to each other and sharing what they're reading on the Bible, on social media. That's amazing. And don't let that die. Don't let that go away. This is why it's so important and why we get why Paul is writing. He says, you know, renewing your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. We teach the young people, it's not about your parents' salvation or how much they read the Bible. It determines on you, your heart. We can't live on somebody else's foundation and somebody else's, you know, commitment to the Lord. We can't live on our grandparents' promises. We got to create a relationship, a wholehearted relationship for ourselves. Yes. I feel like the bishop now. T.D. Jakes. I'm getting skinny. Thank you. See, we hear this these promises, and we know what we're supposed to do. And Paul is just so intensively calling out his church, and we know that we have security in Jesus, right? We know the work on the cross was done for us. We know all this. So my second point is this: if we're not careful, we can fall into the danger of depending on internal security. Yeah, of course we're secure in Jesus. Of course we're secure on the work on the cross. We're eternally secure because Jesus did the work. But we have to do our part. And that's the only way. We have to be completely surrendered to all that he is and all that he was. Because he gave it all for us. 1 John chapter 5 says this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And Jesus goes on to say in John 10, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. See, we love the security and the promises of God. We enjoy living for Jesus. The problem comes when we depend just on the security instead of depending on Jesus. We can get so caught up on the work on the cross. I'll put it this way. I grew up in a different religion where I can go on Sunday and confess my sins and pray the prayers. And then I can live my life Monday through Saturday however I wanted, because I knew all I had to do was repent on Sunday. And the God that I serve was gracious enough to forgive me because I'm eternally forgiven. Right? I had a friend named Trevor who used to say, how, you know, what's the greatest thing about us believing in our God? Is that we can live however we want. And when we get ready to die, all we got to do is confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, and we'll still go to heaven. Right? That's crazy. I know most of us wouldn't think that way or go that far, but if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, we start flirting with the world and its values and its activities, and we can find ourselves divided, trying to serve God, going to church, and at the same time trying to fit into the world. That's being lukewarm. That's being a 90% Christian. Told you I'm going to step on your toes. That's okay. Pastor Travis will fix it next week. Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 6. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. And Paul said it this way in Romans 6. He said, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We cannot really begin to live until we die to self, right? You see, wanting to cling or hang on to the world's ways, which are always rooted in selfishness. In other words, being 90% obedient, still disobedience. Our security is a blessing that should make us love Jesus even more than we can do in our own selves. We should have a gratitude for the work that he's done for us. Because we don't really deserve the place that he put us in as children of God. We don't really deserve it, because a lot of us, we're never able to love the way that God is, the way that God loves, right? I mean, we We call ourselves Christians because we should be Christ-like, right? And if we're not careful, the enemy will get you to deceive, thinking that you're doing a great job because you're a good person. You never hurt anybody. Occasionally you give to the poor. You have almost perfect attendance, right? And we think, you know what? I love people. I love people, right? And we try to measure our level of love to the level of love that God gives. And man, we have no idea what love is. We have no idea what love is. There's a song. This is my third point. There's a song. I don't know how many of you guys have heard it, but it goes something like this. I'm going to sing because my wife asked me not to. And I'm a good listener. You guys going to hear a noise that you've never heard before, I promise. But there's a song that says, what the world needs now is love. Love, no. No, 1,000 times no. That's not what the world needs right now. What the world needs is God. What the world needs is Jesus Christ. See, the problem with this word love in the lyrics of this song is sadly, the problem with this word is that this is what's being preached all around the world at every church, is that the world, all the world needs is love. We have no idea what love is. Because, listen, you know, we got this thing that, you know what, we just got to love people. Love them in their sin. Right? Love them. Listen, when you love people, and our version of love is sending people to hell. Why? Because we're not loving them to grace. We're not loving them so that there's transformation or something. So we're not loving them to the cross. We're loving them where they're at. The reason why there's empty chairs in the church and empty chairs in the youth room is because we're just going to agree with them so that we don't hurt their feelings, right? Because I'm just going to love them. And meanwhile, we're just escorting them. We have no idea what the word love means. We think that we love like God. We have no idea what the love of God is. His love is unmeasurable. It's untouchable. You know what? I love you, but I love my dog. I love my wife, but I love video games. Do you understand? We have no idea what love is. No idea. I love my wife, but if I'm not happy, I'm going to leave her. I'm so thankful that God loves me at a different level. Then I love people because he's never left me when I deserve to be left. The only reason I'm here, the only reason I'm up here is because somebody showed me the love of God that drew me to the cross. They didn't come in the bar with me and go, man, I love you. I'm just going to sit here with you. And we're just going to love each other and get along and all this stuff. And no. I didn't use this last time, but no, I better not use it. My wife, you know, she walks on water. She's perfect. She's beautiful. But there was a time before Christ where she didn't. And I thank our friend that was not a believer, that one day they were sitting there partying, doing, you know, stuff, right? And the name of God was misused, and my wife stood up and said, like, don't do that. And he's like, why? He goes, because I believe in God. And this person who doesn't believe in God said, well, if you believe in God so much, then what are you doing here? My wife came home and threw everything away, and she's never been the same since. I thank God for my friend Cassie, who one day said to my wife, why are you here? Because if you're a Christian, you belong at a different standard. And she loved her so much that she drew her through to the cross, even though she didn't know God, but I believe she did. Man, we need a different definition of what love is. I will embrace you if you embrace me, and we'll all get along. That's not doing anything. It's not growing anyone. You ask any young person, I love them, and they know I love them, but I'll call them on their stuff, right? Because my whole purpose is to bring one kid back to the Lord, right? If God can use me to bring one child back to the Lord in my whole life, and it's not about me, because I'll tell you again, without God, I'm nothing. I'm worthless. I don't know how to love, but with God, my whole thing is, God, I give you my whole heart. I'm not perfect. I get it wrong every day. I hurt people. I probably have people sitting here that I've hurt. But if you know my heart, you know it's not intentional. You know that I say, hey, you know what? I'm just human. Perfection is reserved only for God. I appreciate you putting me at that level, but I have no business being up there. Because I'm just human. I'm just trying to make it every day. I'm up here not because I'm better than you. I'm up here because I know what God did for me. And my whole prayer is, God, let me be completely sold out, wholehearted towards you. So that you can use me to bring one person to you. That's it. Father, forgive me for getting it wrong every day. Forgive me for not glorifying you in everything. But my heart, Lord, I give you my heart completely. I'm a wreck without you. And what we're able to do, not that I'm better than you, but when we're able to surrender our heart to God, then he gives us his heart. And we're able to love people for who they are, not what they can offer us. Ouch. See, God is love, but his love is selfless. He chooses to love you for a higher good. He chooses to love you to bring you to the Father. That's the kind of love that I want. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. He said, enter by a narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. We got to have God's heart, but we got to surrender our whole heart to the Lord. It's the only way. Half-hearted people will never know the Lord. How much time do I have? 7 hours. So in order to embrace Jesus, we got to pursue him with all our heart. See, the Apostle Paul recognized this. He recognized the incredible value of Jesus Christ, that he said this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So God requires your whole heart. The Bible is full of scripture that about what brings joy to God's heart and serving him with his whole heart is up there. Lukewarm, half-hearted people, carnal, lazy, all breaks God's heart. See, considering all that God has done for us, why would we do any less? It's crazy. I talk to people and I say, and again, all glory goes to God. But I was talking to somebody, and I forget who it was, but we were talking about my testimony. I was doing marriage counseling with somebody. I was telling them this. I said, you know what? I said, when I was living for the Lord 23 years ago, I was completely sold out. I mean, when I was living for the world, I was completely sold out to the world. I didn't take time off, right? I didn't wake up one Friday night going, I'm not going to go out and party tonight. I'm tired. You know, I just let everybody else go. I'm going to watch the bar from home. You know? Never did that. He said, Javier, how did you get saved? You know what? When I asked God into my life, I said, Lord, take these addictions from me and make it an addiction towards you, and I will never turn away from you. 23 years, by the grace of God, because I made my heart his home. I've been devoted to working with troubled teenagers, working with youth, working with church people. I've been devoted I used to come in every day, first one to church, last one to leave, carrying my kids in the morning asleep and carrying them out at night out to the car, because if there was something to do at church, I was going to do it. And then I raised my kids that way too. You don't just come to church, you get involved in church. I pour that out, Divina and I and our team, we pour that out into our youth. That's why you see youth serving in the coffee shop, in the welcome center, in children's church. Because you don't just come to church, you are the church. That's being wholehearted. Serving is what? Where you're needed, right? Not where you want to serve. If you serve where you want to serve, that's half-hearted. If you serve where you're needed, that's full-hearted. You guys picking up what I'm putting down? So the worship comes up here because I'm running out of time. I want to leave you guys with this. God's word is not wavering. It doesn't change. But it's crystal clear on what God desires from us. He wants a church that's 100% committed, wholehearted, with your whole heart. Not perfect, right? He doesn't want perfection. He doesn't want works. He just wants your heart. 100%. If you give your heart 100% to God, then the enemy doesn't have any piece of that. Because 90% obedience is what? Disobedience. And it starts today. Listen, if you've been living a life, if God is speaking to you and say, you know what? I get it, but this whole Sunday to Sunday thing is not working for me. I require more from you. Seth was talking about how he came here all the time, but he never read his Bible. And God spoke to him. And then what? He's reading his Bible every day. Right? Talk about Chris and Danica. I got it right this time. I got corrected last time. Right? They're doing the things with their whole heart. It's not just a weekend experience. Here we are. A few weeks later, they're still reading their Bible. They're still getting together. I got 16 kids that come here every Tuesday on their own time to do prayer. Right? They're going on 2 years of doing that. 2 years. You know what happens when Divina and I are at home watching TV and we forget that it's Tuesday? We get a phone call. Where you guys at? Or we go out of town. We're like, hey, we're going to cancel prayer. And no, just give me your keys. We're going to do prayer. Why? Because they're sold out. They're wholehearted. It's really easy for them to say, oh, the church is closed. We're not going to pray. So if you're feeling this way, if God is tagging at you a little bit, tugging at you, see? And then it starts today. It starts today. Don't wait till tomorrow. That's laziness. Don't wait till maybe tonight. I'll go to prayer this Tuesday, right? No, because delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. God is calling you today. He's calling you to Him right now. He didn't say that. I thank God that He didn't say, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it this week. I'm not going to die for the world this weekend. I'm going to do it. I'll do it next year. Right? Oh yeah, I'll do it next year. I've been losing weight next year for the past 30 some years. We'll never do it. It's called laziness. It's called getting comfortable. I'm just gonna hit on this, and it's a beautiful thing that we have online services. But we get so comfortable sitting there that we can't get ready to come to church. God created the church. We created online church for people that can't make it to church. For medical reasons, for real reasons, not because I stayed up too late last night playing video games. Sorry. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. We all love this scripture, and I'm closing with this for the fourth time. We all love this scripture in Proverbs 3:5 that says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. It'd be great if we practiced it. Why is it so easy for us to believe the lies of the enemy, but when it comes to God, we have a hard time trusting and believing in who He is and what He's done for us? Because it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. Mark chapter 12 says this. Jesus said that the most important commandment in the Bible is this: and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He said when we seek Him, we will find Him. Jesus gave everything that He had and everything that He was with His whole heart for us. It would be foolish for us to do anything less. Amen. You guys receive that this morning? Let me pray for you guys really quick. Heavenly Father, Lord. Father, I thank You for allowing me to be up here. Lord, I pray that Your word will penetrate the hearts of Your children. Everybody in this place underneath my breath, and everybody that's logged on online, I'm not trying to beat on them because they're not here. Lord, bless them right where they're at. I pray that You would meet every single person right where they're at, Lord Father. I pray that we would walk out of here just a little bit challenged, a little bit better than the way we came in. Father, I give You all the glory, all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all His children said, amen. God bless you guys.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.